Thank you so much, ladies. What a joy to be in God's house today. Of all the days, the Sabbath is the best. I know I'm not my wife, nor do I attempt to be. She was initially on the docket to be able to share this morning. But when the schedule was made, there was no plans to have a baby join our family. And so sometimes dad has to cover for mom, and sometimes mom has to cover for dad. And so interesting, the thoughts that crossed your mind as I was listening to all the different portions of our worship service this morning. I thought about, what is the baby hearing? This is the first time the baby hears the organ, hears corporate worship. What a blessing. Whether we are 2 weeks old, as she is, or how many weeks we may be old, what a blessing it is to be in God's house. And thank you for all the love and support you've showed to us in this new transition. But I don't know about you, but I've come to hear the word of the Lord. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Father, thank you for your goodness towards us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve your love and mercy and grace. But you grant it to us anyway. And today, you want to do something in our hearts and in our minds and in our church. We ask that you'll help us to put our worries and fears and frustrations aside, and to want to know, what is God trying to tell me today? So speak to us, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. I was asked earlier this morning, Pastor, was it supposed to say smile? I said, no, there is no dyslexia going on here. It is slime. Another one said, I drove by and just looked at the sign. Slime. Did you know that there is a fad apparently going on amongst children that has everything to do with slime? It is unreal. It's even made its way for a short period of time into our household. Emphasis on short period of time. What is this slime epidemic? Well, that's where kids are making slime on YouTube and teaching other kids how to make slime of all variations of colors like this. And so we heard, Mom, Dad, can I watch slime? And we started put it on, and they were getting excited about the slime. And then as time went by, we went to the bathroom and noticed the slime on the towels, and that the slime was not coming off as it should. In fact, the slime never came off, at least of that towel. Granted, I'm sure there's other things and concoctions that you can put together to get the slime out, but we wanted some nice, clean, slimeless towels. So you know where the slime went. Slime is no longer. But I didn't come here to tell you about slime. We've been on a journey through the book of Genesis, and we have just recently seen in Genesis of how the Bible talked about an event that still affects our world today. In fact, people are still arguing whether or not there was a worldwide flood, of whether or not the judgments of God came about, but no, they did happen. That was the last portion of where we got the opportunity to study. But Genesis chapter 6, chapter 6 through 10 talks about the flood, and we get to chapter 11, and I wanted to jump right over chapter 11 and get straight to chapter 12 and on, because chapter 12 and on is like juicy stuff. It's like really, really exciting stuff. That's about Abraham and his journey of faith. But Genesis chapter 11? What could you possibly preach about Genesis chapter 11 that has to deal with you and me today? Oh, man. You know the story. That's the good old Tower of Babel. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Things could get a little slimy. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language." Of what speech? One. That's what the Bible says. What is it that united them? The Bible says one language. But also, because they also had one language, that also meant that they had the same understanding. They said apples, they understood apples. They said oranges, they understood oranges. And they understood each other exactly what they said and what they meant. Genesis chapter 11, verse 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." Okay? You see, they not only had the same language and understood each other, but if all I do is understand you and I and you understand me, that is good and that's a blessing. But there's something missing. What's missing? Well, they didn't understand God. That was the issue. When I understand God, that then enables me to understand you, and you able to understand me. Because if it's just about mutual understanding, that has its benefits and its time, but it's lacking. What is it that united them besides language? Well, the Bible says that it was actually a common purpose. The Bible tells us that they went to what place? The land, the valley of Shinar. Got a question for you. Who told them to go to the land of Shinar? That might seem like a very simple, maybe irrelevant question. Shinar, that's a place that they went because they wanted to. But that's not just a place that they went to because they wanted to. They did what they wanted to. And that's in complete contrast to what we find in the life of Abraham. Who was Abraham? Oh, that's right. This is a guy who leaves a place where he was. Why? Because God told him to go where he was to go and to do what God wanted him to do. Interesting. Genesis 11, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone." King James Version puts the following as the glue. "And slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.'" great idea or novel idea to make a tower so tall that everybody can see it and will be nice and safe, because safety is like really, really, really important. Because what drove them to build that tower? Oh, that's right. There was a whole bunch of water that just finished draining away. And who died in that flood? Everybody except eight. What drove them to build a tower? The flood. That's not the only thing that drove them to build a tower, but also the fact that they had forgotten God's promises. What did God promise? There's not going to be another flood. There might be, it might feel like you're living in Oregon for winter, but there's not going to be a flood. Not a flood that destroys the whole earth and every living thing. God promised that. My question is, has God made us any promises? Is this a promise? Yes, it is. It's a promise. A promise that includes the reality that God would not send judgments in the form of water that would destroy the whole world, but the Bible does say it'll be a different form. It will be fire next time. So what drove them to build a tower? It wasn't just the flood. It was that they also forgot promises. But last but not least, they wanted to make a name for themselves, the Bible says. And a name in the scriptures is synonymous with character. And the Bible says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. God's design was to make us look like him. And yet in the building of the Tower of Babel, it was them making their own name, making their own character with their own identity. You see, making a name for ourselves reminds me of someone who wanted to go higher. Higher. Because where he wasn't good enough, as if making progression was actual progression when it was actually regression. Isn't that Luciferian thinking? I will be like the Most High. I will be above the stars of God. Last time I checked, his days are numbered. God's design, the Bible says in Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You see, God never intended that there would be one central city here on earth. In fact, he tells them to be fruitful and multiply and fill what place? Fill the earth. Not a valley. Fill the earth. But yet they all wanted to be at the same place with the same language, with the same purpose. So what kept them together? What kept them together was location, the tower. They lived at the same place. They even lived inside the tower and worshiped their idols inside of it. What kept them together? Their language. They had the same understanding. But not just that, but what else kept them together was pride in making a name for themselves. And last but not least, what kept them together was sin and idolatry. But what kept the actual tower together? Not just the people, but the tower. Genesis 11, verse 3 is very clear. And they had brick for stone and what else? slime they had for mortar. Go figure. Slime kept them together. Not my choice, if you ask me. When I read that, I said, wow, how cool. Slime is in the Bible. It's on my towels, too. But where else in the Bible is there slime? The Bible says, Genesis 14:10, now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits. That is what this slime was. It was asphalt. And modern day, for us, it would be the equivalency of tar. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there. That's like saying they died there. And the remainder fled to the mountains. So this slime, some people died in the slime. They fell there. You couldn't live there. In fact, I had to do a little research on Wikipedia in regards to this slime, this asphalt, this tar. There's some tar pits in California, and they have found bones 24 feet down. That first step is a doozy. You see, slime is sin. And sin, my Bible tells me, is death. So what are some potential slime pits for us? I want to know that. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. My slime pit is when I lean unto my own understanding. Have you ever slipped on that banana peel? Ooh, man, it hurts. But that's not the only slime pit for the Christian. Besides leaning unto our own understanding, and I didn't tell Susan this, but the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. Who am I hanging out with? Because the people who were building the tower, they're all at the same place. And that affects who I am. I don't want to get into the slime pits. What I want is I want solid ground. I want a strong foundation. I want something that is sturdy, that will last a lifetime. And your building and my building must start with Jesus Christ. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That is the only way you and I will stand. But what did Jesus say about what holds us together, starting and building upon Jesus Christ? It continues. Well, let's go to our scripture reading. Matthew chapter 7. Bible says, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded where? Upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, those who are wise, the Bible says, hear God's word and do them. Those are the wise ones. That house doesn't fall. Time goes by, it stands tall. But also, There's the group of those who hear God's word. But the difference is, they just don't do it. What will the wise do? Hear and do. The foolish, they might hear, but they won't do. The question is, are we hearing? Are we doing? Faith comes by what? Hearing. And faith is shown by the doing. You know, Malachi asked, who may stand when what? When he appeareth. He wanted to be able to stand. He wanted to be able to be ready for Jesus' second coming. And it was in his word where we find security. What else holds us together? We talked about Jesus being the cornerstone. We talked about Jesus' words, the word of God. But that's not the only two things that holds us together. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. You know these words well. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nada. The rest of the chapter, we start seeing a list of things that we should do and some things that we shouldn't, based on what love is and what love isn't. Well, it is patient, kind, and kind. It rejoices in the truth, bears, believes, and hopes, and endures all things. But what it does not, it doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. And it definitely doesn't rejoice in the wrongdoing. What keeps us together is also the love of God. Because the truth is, there's no two people that agree all the time and get along all the time. Just get married. I love my wife and she loves me, but sometimes we see eye to eye and sometimes we don't. But guess what? We hold on tight. And when we offend each other, we apologize. And then we make amends and change and walk together. What else keeps us together besides love? Let's go to Ephesians 4:3. Ephesians 4:3. The Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What keeps us together? The Holy Spirit keeps us together. Our emotions make us want to do this, but then the Holy Spirit convicts me and says, whoa, slow down, partner. That doesn't look like Jesus. Because love is what? Patient. And love is kind. And last time I checked, love is part of the gift or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, everything that is built here requires a building permit. And did you know that we find a building permit in Genesis chapter 11? It's there. Because unless you have this permit, you cannot build. I mean, you can start building, but there'll be somebody coming on by and ask a few questions. They won't be too pleasant. And they could have some dollar signs attached to it, too. The Bible says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Of which, by the way, what they imagined to do was to obliterate the worship of the true God from the face of the earth. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, or Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Question for you. Did the building pass inspection? No, it didn't pass inspection. In fact, they didn't even finish building the tower, for that matter. But I'm not too concerned about the Tower of Babel. What I am more concerned about is the character that is being formed in my life. Is that going to be able to stand when he appears? That's the real question. And not just is that the question, but there's another reality. The building inspector is in town. But where's he going to go first? Where's this building inspector going to go first? Because I hope he goes to that other block first. Hopefully he doesn't come to my neighborhood. Well, the Bible tells me, 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin where? At the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Where's the building inspector going first? He's coming to you and to me. That's where he's going first. That's where the judgment starts first. Because as we saw in the Tower of Babel, God goes down to inspect. He goes to judge and determine what is going on. But you know, not only is Malachi's question important to us today, in not only Earth's history, but also in our church history, but so is ours. You see, we could be tempted to think that maybe this building called the church, and I'm not talking about 1109 Northwest Garden Valley Boulevard, Roseburg, Oregon, is that going to be able to stand? Spirit of Prophecy says the following. The church may appear as about to fall, but it does not fall. We can recall that part of this quote, but what comes next is equally as important. It remains while the sinners in Zion will be sifted out, the chaff separated from the precious wheat. This is a terrible ordeal, but nevertheless, it must take place. As the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. These quotes have kind of been nicely put into a compilation known as Last Day Events, and they come in the chapter entitled The Shaking. And you might be tempted to think, maybe the pastor thinks that the shaking is because of last week's decisions. No. Sister White says the shaking started and was even going on in her days. The shaking has been going on. But the question is, do we still have Christ as our foundation? The question is, do we still live by a thus saith the Lord? And not some words, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Are we still united by the Holy Spirit with the same purpose? The Bible says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, But the word of our God stands forever. It's not time to put God's word aside. That's part of what keeps us together. John 17:17. Sanctify them by what? By the truth. Thy truth. Your word is truth. There is no sanctification that is going on unless God's word is hidden in my heart. You know, sometimes what Jesus and the word of God says is hard stuff. In fact, it affected Jesus' disciples in his time. John chapter 6, verse 16 on, the Bible says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth or gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Peter responds beautifully. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Where else can we go? Jesus has the You see, what we read in Genesis 11, verse 9, tells us about the fact that it's building time. It's not a time to tear down. It's a time to build. Not just is it building time of me individually and building time as a people, but it's not just that, it's also judgment. You know what I love about God? Is that his promises are prophecies. You ever thought about that way? But his prophecies are also promises. You see, God's promises found in his word lead us individually. And God's promises in his word lead us as a people, as we have been promised that Jesus soon will come. We've been promised that Jesus soon will come. No, we've been promised that Jesus soon will come. I think about Jesus and his coming and what Jesus said would occur. Everyone who has this hope in himself, who has this hope, will purify himself just as he is pure. Slime. Just as in the Tower of Babel there was slime. Just as the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah died in the slime. There is slime to flee from today. You see, before Jesus comes back, the Bible says there would be a people that would not have what in their mouth? Guile. What is guile? Deceit. And who's the father of lies? The devil. That sounds like slime to me. So if there would be no guile, if there would be no slime in these people's mouths, what then would be in their mouths? Truth. That's what would be in their mouths. As a people who are getting ready for Jesus' second coming, have been given the opportunity to tell the world about this end time warning and reality. Revelation 18, 1 and on. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, that she receive not of her plagues. Are we still trying to tell people that Jesus is coming? Are your family members ready to see Jesus? Are your neighbors ready to see Jesus? Are your co-workers ready to see Jesus? Is your spouse ready to see Jesus? If there ever was a time to seek the Savior and to plead with God for the salvation of souls, it is now, because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Why did we need to spend some time here today on Genesis chapter 11? Because we're about to start a journey about a man that lived by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I must confess, I recognize that there's still work that God needs to do in my life. How about you? I recognize that I'm an unfinished product. And that it's not a time for me to say, God, I'm good. I have my life under control. I'm a finished product. I'm good to go. I want God to form me. Maybe you want God to form He has started that process long ago. But today, he wants to take us a step further, so that as we are in his hands, we look more and more like Jesus. Because it is as we look like Jesus that that's true evangelism. And so today, if you'd like to say, I don't want the slime in my life anymore. I need to be built on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. I need his Holy Spirit. I need his word to guide me, or else I'm going to go down the wrong road. And I want to submit to him, and I want to trust that my faith has not been in vain, but just as he has raised a people in these last days, I'm going to keep on moving. If that is your desire, I'd like to invite you to stand. Have thine own way. Like the Babylonians. I don't want to tell God. I want what I want, and I will do what I want to do. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded, and still. Let's pray. Father, thank you, because you are moving your people. We did not come here by coincidence to this church here in Roseburg. We did not come to the Seventh-day Adventist Church by coincidence. You brought us here. And you are still guiding your church. Do we understand everything? No, but we hold on to your word because you have the words of life. Where else could we go? Father, may we not leave the work that you've started in our lives. Work in us. Break us. Unite us. May we have your purposes here in Roseburg until Christ returns. Thank you for your promises. I don't want to forget your promises, oh God. And neither do anyone else. Does anyone else? Thank you for what you will do in our lives and in the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us remain standing as we sing our closing hymn.
Touch me.